the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Well, we sure got a lot of people hanging out with us to this 10 o'clock hour at 10:33, Ursula. John Scholes with the Downtown Seattle Association is going to come in here and tell us how downtown can be fixed. At least some of the ways that it can be fixed.
There are four main points that he made in an editorial.
Yeah.
And one of them is bring more workers back.
Yeah. I like John.
I like his ideas. I like John, too. But I like his ideas, the four proposals that he has. I told you after I read his editorials, I agree with all of them. I know many of our listeners don't agree with me.
Do you agree with John more than you agree with me?
Probably.
Yeah, all right. All right. So, well, right now, let's get to it. Let's get to it. We got another amazing guest that comes in every day at 10 o'clock. Let's get to what's new at 10.
Yes, let's do it.
What's new at 10?
And we are more than halfway through this year's legislative session in Olympia, and it seems that the rhetoric is ramping up. So Matt Markovich is here. I saw that the headline was, Democrats are soft on crime. So who's saying this?
The Republicans. Guess what? Yeah. How about that? Surprise, surprise.
Okay.
I feel like I'm making the cut every day. You're allowing me to come in, so...
Yes, we have very high standards, and you meet them.
And since it's, you know, the Final Four time, to put an analogy on it, where we are, when you say we're halfway through, we're entering the Elite Eight. We're done with the Sweet 16 on all the bills. Bills have fallen away and everything else. So we're down to the Elite Eight, and there's still a lot of claims by the Republicans that, like you said, that the Democrats are soft on crime. So they had a rally yesterday in a way. And here's I'll phrase it so you guys can debate about this. They had a rally to talk about, hey, there's a lot of public safety bills out there that we've sponsored. Some of Democrats have sponsored that aren't getting hearings. And we're focusing, according to Jim Walsh, a Republican representative, we're focusing on the wrong group of people here.
We're focusing too much on the ones who do wrong and not enough on the ones who've been done wrong to.
So he's basically set up. The rally was kind of sparsely attended. It was putting out all the they had pictures of all the victims of crime laid out on the steps of the rally at the Capitol there. And the point is that they're trying to make, because obviously Republicans are not in power down there. Democrats control everything. They want the Democrats and the public, they want the Democrats to hold hearings on these bills and not just push them aside and not let them get a hearing, you know, not putting in front, because the Democrats are doing what they do. They count votes. And if they don't think they have enough votes on it, a good idea will never get heard. So that's my question is, it's the way politics works right now, that when you have a party in power, they control everything. The chairman, basically, we talked about that pursuit bill, remember? You know, never got a hearing. The party in power has the control to have ideas heard. And if they don't think they have the votes, the idea never gets heard. And that's how things are. And that's why they had this rally yesterday. They want to point out that, hey, party in power, Democrats, you guys are soft on crime. There's a lot of good crime bills out there. They're not getting heard. The public... You owe it to the public to have these bills heard.
So the question that you're posing is, do you agree with the party in power basically being able to dictate what is even heard?
Well, that's just how it is.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I hate that. I actually despise that part of politics. And in doing that, you are not listening to, even if it's a third of our state, it's a large chunk of our state who elect people that they think will represent them, and their voices are not being heard. And I completely disagree with that. And I think the example would be that police pursuit bill that only in the last hours was able to be resurrected in some form. We still don't know if that's going to even pass, even though we've heard over and over and over again the impacts. And I think that's a mistake. I think that is... what is wrong with politics is that it all boils down to what letter you have beside your name.
Definitely. And I just want to be very transparent with you about when I hear soft on crime, right? When I hear that, or I hear tough on crime, I just go back in history, right? And I'm, what I mean by that is these things when they get out there and the tough on crime thing is basically the war on drugs in communities, right? Which we know there wasn't a war on drugs. But I will come the present day and I will say here in the state of Washington, without going through history, currently right now, yeah, I do think that there is a sense of that. I also think that it is ridiculous that one party is able to control what is heard, because that's what happens when you get that pursuit bill that happened. Those extreme things would not happen if you have two parties able to work together to kind of come up with some common sense things that happen. But because the national level, and I keep saying this, because the politics on the national level is so awful that there is no trust amongst those on the statewide level, especially when it comes to Democrats, to even actually trust what happens. I think that the working relationship between Democrats and Republicans statewide, I think it is way better than what we see on a national level.
And it was even acknowledged by the Republican leadership in a press conference just a couple of days ago,
really?
Saying that right now they feel like they're getting better at governing. So that was the leadership of the Republicans. And these are all Republicans who held this rally saying, I don't think so. So,
well, OK, so I'm going to point out, and just to piggyback what G said, and I'm in agreement, when you hear the Democrats are just soft on crime or Republicans are XYZ, I immediately just turn out, because, as you know, I hate sweeping statements, yeah. First of all. Yeah. Secondly, whether it's name calling or, that's just all woke, or, you know, whatever it is, you're not solving a damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're just basically further deciding that we're going to split people instead of, there are actually some things that you have brought up that, hey, they're bipartisan, mm-hmm. and they are continuing and they are working on it. And I think if you can just say, look, this is the frustration we have. This is, you know, don't call it the party, the party of this or the party of that, but actually focus on, these are specific things that I think we can find agreement on, mm-hmm. that we can actually work together and do something that represents all of us, just not the party in power. I think that would be much more effective.
Let me play this little example from Representative Michelle Collier.
I think it's such a slap in the face that there was one proposal that would have allowed prisoners to have minimum wage, and we've never fully funded the crime victims' compensation account. Seriously, that should be a higher priority than paying prisoners to work.
And that was,
I 100% agree with that.
But what she's talking about, the compensation failed.
Yes.
The prisoner minimum wage got a little bit farther. It failed. But again, that's just an example of what people are saying, that it didn't get hurt. You know, the point here is that it didn't get hurt. And I think what we're hearing is a lot of frustration. Now, I guess I want to say the audience should understand how important it is to have a party in power by significant amounts, by several votes. And that's what's happening in this state. Is people say the state's run by control by Democrats. It really is. It really is. And that is a factor of what people did at the voting booth.
So. Okay, but can I also add that right now I think the state Republican Party has failed to produce politicians and potential candidates who could appeal, because there is also a group of people who maybe have moved more to the center. I might put myself in that category where you're looking for alternatives, and some are just, you know, too far out there, and you're looking for alternatives. But if the Republicans don't field those kind of candidates that can appeal to a very blue state, it's never going to change.
Mm-hmm. But, okay, this is what we do for a living. So we pay attention to what's going on. We pay attention. Hey, Matt, you've been coming in and you've been talking about all of this. So you've been doing this every single day at 10 o'clock, helping us understand what is going on here, right here at home in the state of Washington. I think that is fantastic. But the vast majority of people don't hear this discussion. The vast majority of people, when they go to the voting booth, they hear the discussions on a national level. And on the national level, look here, GOP Republicans, I just want to tell you, it's no secret. The national level, it ain't good. It ain't good at all. So when you have people vote here at home, this is what happens, which is probably the reason why. And Ursula, see if you agree with this. Every single time you get ready to vote for who the governor is going to be in the state of Washington, that coincides with what? The presidential election, which is the reason why last election. Now, you mean to tell me that Lauren Culp is the best thing the Washington Republican Party can hand out, give out? If that's the case, don't get mad at people. Lauren Culp, ladies and gentlemen, that's what you gave us. And who's it going to be in 2024? I'd almost bet that some of the really good Republicans, and by the way, there for sure are some good Republicans, I know them personally, won't run. Why? Because they don't want to get in the mix of the national election on who's going to run. And right now, the person in the lead, the person with 73% almost approval rating from the GOP, with those with a high school education and below, is Donald J. Trump.
Well, here, I'll move on to the other topic, but one last thing with the rumor is among Republicans, this is just rumor and speculation, Tiffany Smiley.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Tiffany Smiley for governor?
I would bet that she would do well. I actually think she did pretty well. Okay,
You think she did well?
Well, she was trounced by Patty Murray, but other people who've run against Patty Murray did even worse.
That's another discussion. I'll save that one, okay? That's speculation,
look,
rumor, you know, not facts. So.
Yeah,
Tiffany Smiley?
Well, I mean, she got some publicity there.
She's well known
now in the state. Name another Republican as well known as her right now.
No, but I'm going to tell you that I'm going to just throw, you know, we always bring up Rob McKenna because he was someone who really, and Dino Rossi, because they were people who could really appeal to that middle, that centrist group that I'm talking about. There are people like JT Wilcox, who I think is very active in Olympia, that I think, hey, that is some...
You're looking at Jay.
I'm basically trying to say, I think that you need to give better options than these extremes. And I think that the Republican Party would do better. But let's go move on to the next thing because, there's other stuff that we need to pay attention to.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of totally shifting subjects, but they had a hearing yesterday on security deposits for rentals. And what is... They're trying to come up with a law to define normal wear and tear. We've all rented. We've all paid a security deposit. We've all been there when you move out of the rental and realize, am I going to get it all back? Am I going to be carpet cleaning or what? And there's been so much going on about it. And basically, I'm going to just play one example. Maybe I can. She's got a good example. No, I'm not going to play because of the time purposes here. I'm just going to basically say what the problem is. They don't have a definition. So they're coming up with a way to come up with what is a definition of wear and tear or when you can have taken out for damages. Security deposits are only – the way the law is going to be written, the security deposit can only be used to fix and repair – damages, not wear and tear. And they define they define damages as deterioration. That's a key word here. That results from negligence, carelessness, accidents, abuse of premises, fixtures, equipment, appliances, or furnishings. Deterioration because of negligence. That is damage. And if you want to do a carpet cleaning, which always happens, seems like they have to put those fees up front. And mainly, the main part is that the landlord has to itemize any repair to the renter within 30 days of them leaving the rental. That's what the landlords were upset about. They said, we can't do an itemized repair list in 30 days. We can't. But the bill gives them 3 years to sue the tenant if they don't pay the rental. But it's coming up with wear and tear. I think I'll just play the one lady who I thought was really good. Listen to her story, and it kind of exemplifies what we're talking about here.
I deep cleaned my single family home, and I hired a carpet cleaner. I even fixed nail holes in my wall. I did everything correct. And despite this, my landlord told me that a cleaning crew had to spend 11 hours cleaning the unit after I vacated. And the invoice he sent me didn't have the name of the company on it. And when I requested the name, he told me he would not provide it to me. Okay, because it's not required by law to provide me verifiable documentation, and this piece of legislation would change that.
And I think she makes a good point. And when we talked about this earlier on the show, we said it shouldn't be that hard to get your deposit back. Mm-hmm. And I think that having the landlord, and both she and I are pro small landlord, but we said I don't think it's unreasonable to ask them to document, because so often you don't get your money back mm-hmm. when you have that deposit.
They're trying to avoid "I know it when I see it." That's what the property managers have been saying, and obviously there are really good actors. There are a lot of bad actors out there, but knowing when I see, so trying to define what is wear and tear. And I thought maybe you guys had an opinion about, how much, if a person lives in an apartment for 30 years, should they be charged for replacing that couch because it's worn out?
Couch?
What are you talking about?
No, you're talking about carpet maybe or the paint. Couch, I mean, if it came as a furniture.
They were saying that people do complete remodels on somebody's security deposit because they've lived there so long.
But nobody has. But the couch? That means they rented a fully furnished spot.
Right.
I ain't never known of nobody to live somewhere for 30 years and then in a fully furnished spot. Come on, Matt.
Okay, no. But one of the things that was brought up is, well, how much should you expect as a landlord, as a property owner? That is part of your business, which is just general upkeep.
Right.
If you haven't updated that place in 30 years, consider yourself lucky, in my opinion.
Yeah, I found it just surprising that this state did not have a definition of wear and tear after all these years.
They don't have a handbook for that?
No. Yeah. No, now they're trying to define it.
Matt, always appreciate you, bro. Get us in here. You always get stuff going on, man.
I try to.
Yeah.
I try to make it interesting.
Okay, Matt,
like you were saying, we talk about national politics. Yeah. These state politics, that affect you every day here. Every single day.
I agree. But the vast majority of people, when they go in the voting booth, they don't go on state politics. We already have a bad turnout, review when it comes to people turning out to vote, mm-hmm. let alone what they're going in there to vote about. And one last thing before you go, I'm telling you right now, if Tiffany Smiley is running for the GOP, for the Republican Party, for governor.
Speculation.
If that were to happen, in my opinion, it's going to be the same thing. And so for all you guys are like, I don't like the Governor Inslee and stuff like that, I would love for maybe some other Republicans to get in there to actually have an opportunity and a chance. Your friend, Rob McKenna, right, Ursula? You always talk about him.
Yeah, we can't keep bringing up Rob McKenna. I think he's happy doing what he's doing.
Bruce Dammeyer.
Bruce Dammeyer. I brought up J.T. Wilcox.
Yes.
I'm looking for people who can appeal to the moderates.
But if you bring the Lauren Culps of the world back, come on. Hey, good stuff, Matt.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you, brother. Hey, coming up next here on the G and Ursula Show, John Scholes, the Downtown Seattle Association, joins the show next. G and Ursula.
You're listening to the G and Ursula Show on this beautiful Thursday morning, and it is one of our big topics today. What needs to happen to bring downtown Seattle back to its glory days, maybe you should say, or it's just make it thriving again? And we talked about some of the proposals that John Scholes has mentioned, and we now have him on the line with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
John is the president and CEO of the Downtown Seattle Association. Hey, I got a chance to read the editorial that you wrote, and you mentioned four things that you felt were proposals to bring downtown Seattle back. And they include getting more workers to work downtown again, make the streets of downtown safe and welcoming, make it easier to locate new businesses and investments downtown. And what was the fourth thing, John?
Well, do no harm. No more, you know, additional taxes and red tape and barriers to people coming back and opening small business.
Okay, so let's bring back the workers downtown idea, because I'm in agreement with you, but a lot of people are not. So make your case.
Well, the health of our whole city's tax base is really tied to a healthy downtown. Half the value of commercial property in our city is located downtown. Downtown's been responsible for about 50% of all the business taxes paid in the city government. So we all have a stake here in our city for a healthy downtown and a healthy tax base. And workers have been part of that over many, many decades. We did not build a virtual economy in this city. We built an economy that's really a physical one. So those workers are customers for small businesses. They're customers for the flower shops, salons, and it drives a lot of tax revenue that has been important to all of these city services that we all enjoy, our park system, universal preschool in our city, the list goes on. So there's a real strong connection to folks working in the central city to the health of our entire city.
Well, you bring up preschool. I'm glad you brought that up, John. And I know a lot of times we talk about, and you're right, as far as how downtown was built and what it would mean for people to come downtown. But what do you say to those, especially right after the pandemic? What do you say to those that that have now seen a decrease when it comes to paying for childcare? Because we know how expensive that is. And then we also know about the cost of parking downtown. So not only do you would you have to come downtown with the gas, that costs more today than it did pre-pandemic, but you also have to come downtown and you have to pay for the parking. What do you say to those folks that saw a decrease in gas, saw a decrease in childcare, and saw a decrease in not paying for parking? That probably can sometimes equate for some homes maybe $1,500 to $2,000 a month.
Yeah, just like we need to make it easy for small businesses to reopen and new ones to locate, we need to make it easier for workers to access downtown, to have a great transit system that's clean and safe and healthy and reliable, to bring down, you know, their out-of-pocket costs. We need more childcare investment in our city and in the downtown, and thankfully we have lots and lots of preschools and other childcare opportunities, but we need more. We need housing more closely connected to our downtown. So there's lots of things we need to do to make it easier, more convenient, more affordable to access downtown. And we've made a lot of investments in those areas over the last several years, and we're making more. And we also need to make sure that it's safe and healthy and clean for everybody. And we're moving in the right direction there. We still have more work to do, but I think under the leadership of Mayor Harrell, we're clearly in a better place than we were a year ago. And I think I have a lot to look forward to over the next couple of months as well.
It is your job to sell the great parts of downtown. And again, I'm a big believer, and I push for the revival of downtown. But one of the things that you brought up in your editorial is that people need to feel safe. And every time we bring up downtown Seattle, our listeners bombard us with, I'm not going to go back down there because I don't feel safe. Or what do you feel needs to happen to make downtown safer?
Well, the things that we're seeing happen now under the leadership of our mayor, our county executives, King County Prosecutor Lisa Mannion, and our city attorney, Ann Davison. I mean, we need to continue to stay the course. And I think people have good reason as they look over the last couple of years to be very frustrated and unhappy with what they've seen. But I can tell you that we're moving in the right direction, and the numbers show that. You know, in 2022, we had 18% fewer violent crimes than we did in 2019 in the commercial core of downtown. The first 2 months of this year, in parts of downtown, we've seen over a 50% reduction in crime from the first 2 months of 2022. A year ago, we had 140 tent encampments across the sidewalks and streets of downtown. Today, there are around 10 or 12. This is a different downtown than a year ago, even 6 months ago. And we need to continue to stay the course so that everybody can come here and feel safe and welcomed, and that it's a healthy and clean environment. And I'm not declaring victory. I don't think we should. But we are clearly moving in the right direction under the leadership of our mayor and other elected officials who I believe are committed to these issues. They ran on them. They made promises. And now we're starting to see some of the results, and we need to see more.
Speaking of elected leadership, King County Executive Dow Constantine recently proposed this new civic campus in downtown Seattle, which included space for offices, restaurants, housing, and changes to the courthouse, jail, and administration building that is now closed to the public. What do you support his proposal?
I appreciate that he's looking at how do we take, you know, underutilized buildings, underutilized blocks that the public owns. These are our assets as taxpayers. And how do we get more use out of them, which is going to be a good deal for downtown to bring more housing in, potentially more childcare, retail, restaurants, creating opportunity for small businesses to locate. And if we do that right and we're successful, that's more tax revenue that's generated for our city and county as well. So I commend him for having a bold vision here and looking at a significant amount of real estate that the county owns and has owned for quite some time. And it's been underutilized for quite some time. We should do something better and different with it that pays dividends for not only downtown, but really our whole county, because all of the residents in our county own that real estate.
Thank you, John. John Scholes, Downtown Seattle Association. We always love having you on our show, my man.
Always appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much, Gene Ursula.
Thank you. All right.
Hey, coming up next here on the Gene Ursula Show, it is time for scenarios where we judge other people's lives. And somebody wants to know, are they a bad mom for sending their son for another weekend at grandma's? Do that next. Gene Ursula. Show. I forget what kind of Thursday this is, but
it's
boy.
A thick Thursday, baby.
I don't know.
I got to get up on the desk now.
No, you know what? Thankful Thursday.
Thankful Thursday. All there right. We go. All right, let's get to scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo.
I'm a young single mom with a beautiful son. I like to go out with my old high school friends on the weekends, and my son goes to his grandma's house and has a blast every weekend. His father is mostly out of the picture, but he watches social media and sees photos of me going out. Then he messages me and calls to tell me that I'm a terrible mom for dumping my kid off at his grandma's house while I go out and get drunk. I mean, that's a little awful to just say I'm getting drunk, but I'm just going out with my friends. I don't think I'm a bad mom, and I'm not willing to give up my life for one mistake with a jerk. What do you guys think? 888-973-5476 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you up to bat first.
Okay, wait. So the issue is that she goes out and parties?
Yeah, she goes out on the weekends, and every weekend she drops her son off at her mom's house, his grandma's house, and the dad says, hey, you know what? You're going out every weekend. You know, you're terrible by doing that. And so the question she's asking, I'm sure, is it bad that she drops her son off at mom's house, grandma's house, every weekend?
I mean, I need to know more details, but just given that, I would say, you know, it doesn't sound great because it sounds like it's every weekend and it's becoming a problem. That said, if no one else is raising issue and the ex is just making judgments, then it's his problem. But I would want to know more about what is going on. And she said getting drunk every weekend. Is the child harmed? Is, you know, Monday through Friday, is she spending a lot of time with the child and she just needs a break? Because you know what? People need breaks. So I need more details, but
I don't need any more details.
Just how it's written like that or just how it's...
No, I don't need any more details. Yeah. You want to know why?
Why?
Because here's what they wrote and said. They wrote and said, hey, every weekend you're dropping our son off at your mom's house and you're going out. They didn't say, hey, our son's hungry. They didn't say, hey, right, the son's dirty. Hey, the son is this. And the son is living in bad living conditions. They just have a problem with the son being dropped off at grandma's house. You know what? If you got a mama or a daddy that's cool with taking little Desi on the weekends while you go out, but Monday through Friday you're doing your thing. Do you?
That is phenomenal.
That is fantastic.
We're in agreement then. I'm just saying that it sounds like someone's got an issue. And so what's the issue? Are there other parts that we're not hearing? If the son is taking care of Monday through Friday and Saturday she's just blowing off steam and getting some me time, I think that's perfectly fine.
No doubt.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with you as an adult doing whatever the heck you want with your free time, so long as it's not illegal and you're not responsible for the child. And I don't care if that's going out and partying or drinking. You know what? There are a lot of parents who party. And there are a lot of parents who drink around their kids and do irresponsible things around their kids. If there's someone else who is watching your child, why should you not have full license to go out and do whatever you want on your own time? Now, I don't hear grandma's perspective in this because I am aware, having children myself and having grandparents that are nice enough to take care of them, including in my own house, that you can't burn them out. And you can't expect grandma and grandpa to just take the kids at the drop of a hat and, you know what, you just go off and do whatever you want, because guess what? It is your primary role as parent to be the responsible one in charge of that child. But I don't hear any complaints from grandma. I just hear complaints from the deadbeat, from the baby daddy who's mad about seeing your pictures on social media. Block him on social media. End of story.
Yeah. Now,
okay, wait, there is something that, can you repeat?
Because I didn't hear that the first time around.
If I wanted to,
I could have stopped right there on the mistake that she said because of one mistake with the jerk. I could have went there, but I wanted to have more fun with this topic.
Yeah, because that actually says a lot. We say one mistake with a jerk, and now you're every single weekend you're out getting drunk. There's more going on, and you might need actually some help.
I mean, she just didn't word it right.
Well,
but sometimes we say things we shouldn't say.
Yeah, but that is very telling, I believe, because also, you know, every single weekend.
What happened to the dad?
Why doesn't he take the kid?
I don't know.
There's another piece of the story we don't know.
Sounds like a jerk.
Hey.
At least she's showing some initiative, I'll say that.
What do you got, brother Nick?
It sounds like she worded this against her favor, ironically. Parental responsibility, yeah, it's one thing, it's important, but everyone needs to have some free time to relax, kick back, even if you have kids, so I say you just go for it. Don't get carried away with using your parents helping you out with the kiddo, because that privilege could be wiped away if you take it for granted.
Mm. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, 253 says, she said, I don't want to give up my life because I made one mistake. She doesn't want the kid. She's a bad mother avoiding her kid.
Nah.
How can you avoid your kid as a single mom?
Because you get two days off. I disagree. Okay. Can I ask parents something? I'm being honest. As a parent before, have you ever said anything that was not good? Have you ever thought anything that was not good as a parent? By the way, when I was younger, sometimes I would do some things and my mama would say things to me that I still to this day remember.
You know what? This actually has me kind of mad right now. Because there are a lot of parents who are split in custody, right? And nobody ever says you're a bad parent because the other parent has your kid for 5 days a week. You're a bad parent for doing that. No, that's called a custody agreement. That's called making it work. Mom watches the kid on the weekends. What's the problem?
That's the position I took right there. All right, we're having some fun here. It's time for some agree to disagree. Let's see what this gets. Oh my goodness. There is a topic on agree to disagree that if this was a topic maybe 5 years ago, I would go one way. But the fact that we're talking about this now, and here's what it has to do with. It has to do with bars being open after 2 a.m.
Mm, yeah, that's something being considered locally. The other thing I want to let you know about is that coming up at 11:30, I heard an interview during the John and Sherry show yesterday, and it was so good. It was one of our listeners who shared her personal story about dealing with addiction and how she got out of it. And we're going to share that coming up at 11:30, and you don't want to miss it.
All right. We'll do all that next. Gina Ursula.